I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is it?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
24 Reno. Oh. Red Polly.
What is happening?
We made it. Happy Football Friday.
We did it, everybody.
We did it. We survived.
I feel like we should be Minnesota at the end of the game launching fireworks despite the field goal missing. That should be us this morning. Do we have any fireworks on top of the building? Can we light out some Roman candles?
It's week one. Everybody's a little rusty. Big firework guy was like, oh, no.
That looked like one of my drives, man. That had a nasty hook to it.
It did at the
end,
yeah.
For like 60% of the kick, it was right down the middle and just hard turn to the right.
The
man.
Fireworks, it's got to be a button, right? Like a big push button. Like when you see those fireworks shows, I think of, it's kind of a deep pull, Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. There's a big button to light the Christmas tree that the woman falls on.
I think of it more of Don Cheadle in Ocean's 11 when he's about to let the pinch go and he kind of covers himself. And
nothing happens. And then all of a sudden,
there you go.
There it is.
I don't know. It's the last fireworks night of the hops. It's Fan Appreciation Weekend.
Well, you should
find
out and text us tonight. Is it a big button? Is it a little switch?
Okay.
Is it an old school?
That'd actually be badass if it was.
You actually have to take a lighter out there.
You're like running around in the outfield trying to light each one individually.
I think it's more electronic.
Well, the good news is with post-game fireworks, you don't have to worry about wrongfully lighting them off. Mm. Win or lose, it's firework night, and people show up
night.
For firework
night. They're sticking around. They stuck around last week. Cooley went out. We had a one-hour rain delay.
That was home Friday. Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
That's a long time to wait.
He stuck it out the whole time because his daughter loves fireworks.
Wanted to see fireworks.
We're not leaving.
That's a powerful
one
thing.
1 hour and 12 minute rain delay there last Friday.
1 o'clock in the morning. We're getting our fireworks.
Stuck it out. Somewhere around 10:45, we started launching fireworks.
I mean, it's happened from time to time in baseball games where people think, because a lot of teams, your team does this when I was in Atlanta, so many fireworks. Like every strikeout is a firework pop. Every home run, massive fireworks, just fireworks the entire game. And it happens from time to time when you think a ball is out and it hits off the wall. We've had the premature firework guy before. And I'm assuming because of that it's a button that you press and then you immediately regret it and everybody makes fun of you.
You'd think you'd be waiting for the signal.
Instead of just
reacting in
the moment.
You
want to hit it right. You want it to be like ball hits the stands, pew, psh, psh, and like, then it all goes off.
Last night.
It's an ambiance thing.
Minnesota kicker. You're right. It looks straight, and then it cuts super hard right. Yeah. Sliced it a little bit.
He hit that button when that kick was at the 15-yard line.
That's what I'm saying.
They're going to win. Damn it.
Well, it's also where firework guy is. Does he have a good angle?
His angle, if he's near where the fireworks shot off, looked like a weird angle.
Yeah, but or is firework guy like up in where the
press box
booth where the PA and the video
also
boards
can be
and
a
stuff.
Tough angle.
That's a tough angle.
Very well could be, which is why, to your point, let's verify here. Let's be patient and verify before we press the button.
One of those quarterback sounds that we've pulled in our quarterback montage for Football Fridays is the Cam Newton classic.
Ready? I'm ready, Cam. I'm ready.
It's one of my all-time favorites. I was alerted to something Cam Newton related yesterday by Andrew Nemec, and I don't know if you saw this.
I don't think that I did. I don't pay much attention to Cam Newton anymore. I know he's in media. He's doing podcasts and stuff.
He did a podcast with, like, a family therapist.
Oh.
And I don't know why he agreed to this, because she made him look all kinds of dumb.
Did it not go well for him?
It went really sideways.
What's wrong with his personal life and family life that he needed to dish it out on a podcast?
Well, I don't know what inspired him to be on this pod or her to be on his pod. I don't know whose pod it was. I was just given a tweet with like a 7-minute video, and I watched it.
7-minute long clip.
And he's like typical Cam Newton, funky outfit,
big hat.
I'm the coolest guy because I love kids. I'm not ready to be married. I'm not settling down yet. I'll get married at some point.
Okay.
But I want more kids. And the gal's like, how many kids do you have? And he goes, 8.
Got 8 kids?
She goes, how many different women? He goes, 3. And she's like, oh, I thought you had 4. You got 8, huh? And he basically is like braggadocious. He's going to get married one day, but not right now. But he loves kids. He might want to have more kids.
And not to any of the women who have had his kids. I'm assuming he's not going to get married to.
She basically dressed him down. Yeah. Not in a mean way, but like,
what are we doing here?
You know you're being a narcissistic, selfish individual who's creating multiple broken homes. And he just sat there, was like, oh my. He had no mental idea.
Any comebacks, or he just sit there and take it the entire time?
He tried to like counter her with points, and then she would just be like, no, that's not an accurate thing at all.
Not how that works. Those kids are largely going to grow up without a father now, because there's 8 of them and 3 different women involved.
And you're going to have your own home with your wife, and their mom and them will be in a different home. And you think that's going to be good for them?
That's
a
healthy family structure right there.
Just, if you find it, it's hilarious. He just gets broken down, and it like never realized or clicked with him that any of this was a thing.
That sounds about right for a guy who I think has a massive ego, thinking about himself and himself only in that situation, that I want to have more kids, but I'm not going to think about the impact on the actual kids. I'm not going to think about their day-to-day life. Kids are fun, especially when you don't have to deal with the day in and day out nastiness of actually raising a child, and you can just kind of parachute in. It's like the beauty of being an uncle.
Yeah.
You show up for a weekend. This is great. Right. You get 72 hours, and then I'm going back home. I'm back to my mansion. I don't got to deal with that crying baby. I'm out of here, man.
Exactly.
You're doing the same exact thing.
It was, it's maybe the most, I wouldn't say humbling, because he didn't like acknowledge anything, but you just watch him in real time just... He's not smart enough to have a conversation with this woman. I'm like, why did you agree to this?
This is a bad idea, buddy. This is a bad. I think we need Sprague's therapy pod now. Should that be next?
Should we do a therapy
pod? Odyssey pod. The Odyssey app should launch that.
Brought to you by Sprague's Therapy.
Sprague's Therapy Pod, where you sit down with your therapist and we get podcasts.
Sprague's Couch.
You could call it the Soprano Sprague.
There
it's
you
like
go.
It's like an episode of The Sopranos.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes it is.
You're going through your issues. It's airing out for everybody to hear. I think it'd be great. It'd be a good rater right there.
I'm not going
to
pretend that I haven't sat on that couch. Goes, why am I looking at geese? I'm just looking at the geese in my backyard sometimes.
There's a duck in my family pool. What's going on here, man? I love those ducks. I don't want them to fly away. They're my family.
Do I think I'm dying like a duck?
What's the deeper meaning on this one? Next time you're in therapy, ask him about my Yogi Roth dream and what that means. Tell him it was your dream. Say, well, what's the symbolism here?
You want to talk about weird dreams. Yeah. I'll ask you, what does this dream mean? Why did I wake up at 1:45 thinking I had to run for one of my teammates on Hood to Coast and that they were going to be at my house by 2 a.m. so I could then run the next hour and hand off for the next person.
You had 45 minutes to get up and get ready to go run.
And so I literally sat up with my nightstand light on, and I just kept like waiting, going, I can't sleep. I have to go run.
I have to go. Here we go. It's time.
And I'd say about 25 minutes until I realized, Hood to Coast is over. I have to wake up in 2 hours. Why am I doing this?
I'll get plenty of sleep here the next 2 hours. I'm sure this will be wonderful. I'll be fully awake for the start of the show.
It was like sleepwalking and talking, but like I knew I was awake, but I didn't know I was awake. It was a weird thing.
I feel I still have those from time to time. I have like the most recurring nightmare I have. I feel like they all go back. Not nightmare is not the right word, but bad dream. That you always go back to like a stressful thing of something you have to do or a responsibility that you have.
Yeah.
And I still have bad dreams to this day about like not doing anything for college classes and it being like the 8th week of the term.
Still?
And like, and I wake up and I'm like,
traumatized.
I'm like, this is not going to go well. And then I'm like, okay, no, it's all right. I graduated. I think I'm done.
<I think. laughs>
There's a piece of paper on my wall. I think I'm all right.
Nobody's asked you to see it.
Nope. Nobody's ever checked and verified that, but they'll just take my word for it. It happened.
It reminds me of episode of The Bear where they're showing Tina and her journey of being unemployed at a later age and trying to find a new job. And when she finally has a job, this gal's like, you got to have a degree. And I remember sitting there watching going, Could just lie right here, Tina. Nobody ever checks. Nobody cares.
I have a master's in science. Nobody's going to verify this.
You can't go master's. I think master's too high.
It's too high, too big.
I got a BA.
I'm shooting for the moon, man.
I got a Bachelor of Arts, and I went to Chicago University. There you go.
You can call me doctor, bitch. I got my PhD. You don't need to see that diploma. Don't worry about it.
I always had a problem with sleepwalking. I was my mom used to be really creeped out by me, because as a child, I used to get up and talk.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I had one experience where we stayed at my mom's friend's once, probably because she got hammered and she didn't want to drive home. And I remember sleeping up in the attic bedroom, and my mom said I walked downstairs, I talked to them, they thought I was awake still.
What?
And then I went to the living room and I just started meowing.
How is this possible? Like, how is this, Matt, like, scientifically possible?
Yeah. A lot of that. And they were like, oh my God. She goes, he's sleeping. He's sleepwalking again.
You're just in the kitchen meowing.
And they like, kind of like, it's a little stepbrothery. They kind of like guide me to like back to the bedroom.
Come on, we're going this way, buddy. You got to go back upstairs.
Pillows in the stove. That's Brandon.
That was you the entire time. You can't wake him up either. You freak out if you wake up and you're in the middle of sleep and you're standing in the kitchen meowing like a cat. That would rattle your cage a little bit right there.
Well, I'd love to do a study of, like, what does it say about your psychology that you're sleepwalking?
And that's, yeah.
And you're acting like something.
And I feel like everybody that sleepwalks has their thing. Like, they have the thing that they do, or, you know, a trait or something common that they do while they sleepwalk. Why is that? Why is that the thing that you do, a la pillows in the oven?
I'm surprised my wife married me, because I scared her one day waking up in college. I just like sat up and I started talking and she started talking back. And she said it took her like 5 to 10 minutes to realize I wasn't awake.
This is not happening right now.
And she's like, is he going to murder me in his sleep?
Just mumbling over there?
What's wrong with this guy?
Dude, if Teddy Ballgame starts sleepwalking, we got issues, man.
It's kind of scary to see. Have you seen it?
I've never seen an actual sleepwalker in person.
So I was one, but I had never seen one until my nephew stayed at my house when he was like 5. He got up and started sleepwalking, and I was like, whoa, this is really kind of creepy.
What are we gonna do here?
He's being possessed right now.
Somebody said I would get into the refrigerator and eat carrots while sitting on the couch next to my dad watching TV when I would sleepwalk.
Dude, that's crazy.
You just walk down, grab a carrot out of the fridge, go sit down like
you're
Bugs Bunny.
You're guiding yourself.
How do you not choke? Like, it's terrifying.
I know.
Yeah, if this happens with Teddy Ballgame when he's able to walk, and all of a sudden I get some, like, you know, demented child walking into my room in the middle of the night, wandering around my bed.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get some locks. We're going to have to figure something out. Can we strap him down while he sleeps? What's the protocol here? What do we do,
man? I don't think you want to wake him.
That's not the thing. Isn't that
you don't want to wake him? It's a scary thing.
That's one of those, like, I just believe it because of stepbrothers.
Yeah.
I've never actually looked into that, if that's a thing that you can or cannot do, but it happened in that movie, and now I believe you can't wake up a sleepwalker or they will lose their ass at you.
I remember telling a friend in the industry when we got the morning show that we had the morning show, and I remember them saying, congratulations, really happy for you, I just want you to know it's going to kill you. And I said, I like the mornings. I like to get up early. Like, no, yeah, I know, but you're going to die.
It's going to happen.
You're going to die early, and you're probably going to regret it, and it's not going to be worth it. And I said, okay, thank you. Appreciate the encouragement.
Very excited for the new time slot. This is going to be awesome.
Can't wait to die.
We could do it for 15 years, and that's it. You got a hard cap right there.
Fortunately, with the empty nest, if I need a nap at 1 o'clock, I'm just, doze off on the couch.
Dude.
I'm a long ways away from that.
School starts on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'd be pissed to not be a Portland family this week, because kids were back in school. You would have had a whole week this week. Now you got to wait till next week.
I think it's kind of stupid that kids are back in school right now. Yeah. They shouldn't be in school till after Labor Day. That is how we've always operated, and I don't know why they lost this week in summer.
I tend to agree with you. AI says it's, in general, not recommended to wake a sleepwalker.
Yeah, so
sleepwalking is a state where the brain is active enough to move, but not enough to wake up.
That's crazy.
Waking a sleepwalker can be disorienting and unpleasant for them, and they may not remember what happened in the morning.
Can you ask AI why people sleepwalk?
Why
I want to know what the cause is. That stress? Is that just anxiety?
We need to go over this over therapy, man.
Well, I don't think my therapist is professioned enough to know that.
The exact cause is unknown, but it's more likely to occur in people who have family members with a history of sleepwalking or night terrors. It's also more common in children and young adults than older adults.
Mm.
So maybe you've grown out of it, or you're growing out of it as you get older.
I just told you, set up on my bed at 1:45 this morning, thinking I was going to go run hood to coast.
That's different.
It took me 20 minutes to realize I wasn't.
You didn't get out of your bed, though. You stated, we're making progress. You're just sitting up in bed and having conversations now. Okay, we're going in the right direction. Now we just got to get you to not wake up at all.
Well, I'm here. I'm awake. I think I am. This is really happening, right? It's not
no,
a dream.
It's all a dream.
It's not a matrix.
It's all a dream.
We're all really here.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm here. Okay.
We have a lot to get into today. College football is back in our lives. We got an NFL story that's finally over.
Thank God.
Thank God. Everybody involved, fans, non-fans, everybody was done with that story.
Yeah, we got it. We made it. We're here.
We
it
will Sprague happen. The line at 8:30, so get those Sprague the Line sponsors into the Vancouver 4. Text line 503-864-6326. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, Football Friday starts now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they tried like hell to give it away, didn't they?
Sure did, buddy. Sure did. I don't know which game we're talking about, but there were a lot of them last night.
I think you know what game I'm talking about.
NC State, our Wolfpack, rough start for them.
Grayson McCall.
Survive in advance. Survive in advance.
Yeah, that was Western Carolina.
You don't mess with the Cats. The Cats are scary.
Had the dirty pole feel yesterday after the NC State.
The dirty pole feel, 1-0 is 1-0, baby. There's no pictures on a scorecard here. Yeah. Record's all that matters. 1-0, 1-0. Feeling good. It was a look-ahead spot for them. They got a big opponent next week.
I think that Wolf's limping a little bit. I think we're limping along howling is what we're doing.
Not a lot of howls last night. Some light barks, maybe some nibbling, not a lot of big bites, but they survived.
No, prime time.
Prime time.
Man, that was exactly what a lot of us thought it would be, wasn't it?
I loved every second of that game. I loved every second of it. That was... I knew you just had a feeling we're all hate watching or love watching or however you feel about Deion. Like
I think the vast majority dirt were
hate watching. Elicits an opinion, and it's so good for the sport because like we were having this argument with Rust after the show yesterday, and he was talking about how much he hates Deion and how he can't wait to hopefully watch him lose tonight. And I'm like, yeah, but we also have to at least acknowledge and appreciate the opinions that he elicits makes us care about these games. Colorado is not going to be a very good football team this year. I think I kind of learned that last night. You don't want to take too many things away from week one. Looks like the same exact football team from last year, slightly better at the line of scrimmage. Elite athletes, really dumb play calling at times, horrible mistakes on the field.
You thought they looked better at the line of scrimmage?
I mean, they ran the ball, kind of, and they stopped the run, but it's against North Dakota State.
They averaged like 2.9 yards a carry, and they ran for 50-some yards.
Do you remember how bad their rushing offense was last year?
They
stopped the run.
They also played North Dakota State.
Sure, they did. Look, I'm trying to be positive here about Colorado. I just said that Colorado's going to be a bad football team this year. But I enjoy watching them because it elicits an opinion, and it elicits emotion. And I loved every second of it because they were down at the half. Everybody's freaking out. It was so fun to watch late in the game. They tried to gack it away, gave up a Hail Mary late, horrible play calling to throw the football on that final drive to stop the clock. Every second of that game was entertainment and theater, and I loved it.
We have a good call here, Mark Johnson, our good friend. He's got great pipes. He's been on the show a couple times talking about Deion and Prime in Colorado. Here he is. This is the third touchdown, Swigard, the final touchdown.
Yeah, this is the amazing NFL catch.
Yeah, this was unbelievable. Here's Mark Johnson on Learfield.
A shotgun snap taken by Shadur, throws it right side. Travis Hunter reaches up, makes a spectacular grab. Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! He's an alien! He's a freak! He's a mutant! He's the best player in college football! And the Buffaloes take a 10-point lead, 30-20.
God, he's got good pipes,
man. Great pipes.
By the way, I looked it up. I'll give you a little of this. Last year, they averaged 2.31 yards per carry.
Hey, making progress.
Making progress.
Last night it was 2.6.
Making progress, baby.
I just think that offensive line showed me zero. In fact, I would be very concerned playing real defensive lines because North Dakota State was bullying them.
They go to Nebraska next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have fun with
that. The
Black Shirts
are back.
Have fun with that. That's a nasty defensive line.
You know, here's the other part of this because I think we all kind of take away the same thing from it. I'm in a weird spot here. I think what Deion has been saying and doing lately, I don't agree with. I've always thought he was great for the game. That's why I bought a Prime sweatshirt. It wasn't hot in their britches about him last year. I'm like, this is great. Like, I care about Colorado again.
Stock the almonds for the season.
Yeah, the almonds are stocked. They're ready to go. And so I'm kind of hate watching them last night, too. But I also think they have the best player in college football and maybe the best quarterback, because you can think about whatever you want on the defense and Shurmur as their OC and Deion as a head coach. I probably won't argue with you on those opinions. Shador was effing awesome last night, and Travis Hunter, if he's healthy, I think he's going to win the Heisman. He's playing both sides of the ball.
He played over 100 snaps.
Yeah, he did it again.
Yeah,
that's where Shador was awesome last night. Best quarterback in the country. It's kind of a weird year for quarterbacks.
That's why I'm throwing that out there. He may be the number one.
And he was scrambling for his life most of the game.
And he still took hits and delivered. Yeah. He's throwing some dimes, man, under pressure.
Yeah, he also has, like, the only issue that I ever have with Shador is he just has head-scratching plays sometimes where, like, that last drive, they were completely bailed out by that pass interference call where he just chucked it down the field and happened to underthrow the wide receiver and the linebacker ran into him and they got the benefit of that whistle.
They went Mario school of clock management.
Just, you know, let's throw it on first down incomplete and then on third down, let's chuck one down the field. If that ball's incomplete, North Dakota State's getting the ball back, like, with a timeout left and, like, a minute and 30 to go. And on that play, it was like third and six or whatever, and he's just backpedaling all the way back to his 10-yard line.
He's got a little Caleb in him.
He holds onto the ball way too long. That's my only criticism of Shador. I don't disagree with the Travis Hunter point. I think he's probably easily the best player in the country. The issue is he's not going to stay healthy. Like, that was my other takeaway from last night.
Why would you throw that out?
He's never had a season where he finished healthy. You know why? How many snaps did he play last night, Swag?
100.
Over 100.
Yeah, 100. So how did their season go at the start of last year? He carried them to wins because he was amazing against TCU. He was incredible against Colorado State before he got hurt with the lacerated kidney or whatever he had when he got hit. He was incredible against Nebraska. He's carrying them to wins, and then he gets hurt because you're playing him 100 snaps a game. Like, I'm not saying don't play him both sides. To play him every snap on defense and, like, 90% of the snaps on offense, have you not learned your lesson? Pick your poison here. Use him for a third down and long. We want him in coverage. Use him for this pass player. He's not their only wide receiver. He's their best, but he's not their only good wide receiver. That's why I looked at them. They're the same team. He's going to carry him to wins early. They might beat Nebraska because of him. Could be Colorado State because of him. But you cannot rely on somebody playing that many snaps and not getting hurt. It's a violent game, man. He's going to take a hit. He got banged up at the end of the game last night because they were throwing those little swing passes to him. They had to take him out.
He also was not happy. His teammates were celebrating. He's like, we barely beat North Dakota State. When you guys stop this? You might be right. I'll ask you this, though. Where is he better? Because that catch on that third touchdown, I'm still, like, baffled watching that. And I couldn't believe how he caught it. It looked like a glitch in a video game where the ball goes through the defender's body.
Yeah.
And he somehow had it.
And he was getting interfered with. Yeah. That was a flag if he doesn't make the catch. So.
What is he better at to you guys? Is he going to be an NFL wide receiver or DB? Because he's not going to do both sides. That's not going to happen.
I would say wide receiver. I know he's more known as a DB, but...
Yeah, I think he's drafted as a wide receiver, and they could possibly use him as a third cornerback in certain situations.
In some desperate, like, hey, go switch sides for a couple plays.
It's third and 16, and we want an extra DB on the field goal play, but he's not going to be an every down corner for game in and game out in the NFL.
The other part of him, and I want to get to the Deion clip, we all, again, I think, agree with what we saw, right? The offensive line still isn't good. The defense sucks. They've got really good receivers. Their passing game is good. If he gets time, they're going to fight to get to six wins if they can get there.
If that.
Because their recipe is going to be kind of the same as last year. We just need to outscore you.
Yes.
And
they need to hit big plays.
Yeah.
Try to figure out how to win field position, big kick returns, those sorts of things.
Right.
But we'll know much, much, much more next weekend when they go to Lincoln and play Nebraska.
It just... For all the chatter about Deion and him making the decisions to basically fire and turn over an entire staff and hit the portal and not high school, it's year two and it's one game, but it showed itself.
Like, seemed
here
like
you
the
go.
Same team.
This is, it seems like the exact same team. And, you know, we're all fans of our own teams. We always want to see growth and development and change. And you didn't see any of that. Here was Deion in the post game after barely beating North Dakota State.
You ever felt like you won, but you didn't win? But I'm thankful, I'm happy we got the W. I think 31 NFL scouts are on hand tonight, and I think they saw what they came to see. So let's move on from there. I'm going to try my best to hold back my anger, but we got the W, so I'm happy.
I'm rooting for him to stay at Colorado and in college.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, dude, you're great, but I wish you would care about the things you need to care about, like
take
high school recruiting.
Yeah.
And it may come at the hands of you sucking really badly for 1 year and everybody burying you as a coach, but you can't turn over your entire staff every year. You can't just hit the portal. These other little things matter a great deal. Nick Saban didn't win on portal and staff changeover every year top to bottom. He won because he busted his ass traveling to all these cities, you know, two-stepping with recruits in their living room and their moms. You got to care about that stuff. And he hasn't so far. And it's frustrating because he's good for the sport. And I don't want him to go away.
No, I don't either. I want to hate watch Colorado every week of the season, man. I already can't wait until next weekend going on the road to Nebraska. Like, I can't wait for that game. It's going to be awesome to watch. I think that quote almost acknowledges what his main goal is anyways, and that is to get Shador and Travis Hunter drafted in the top 5 or the top 10, which they both likely will be next April.
Yep.
And that's the main focus. There's 31 NFL scouts here. Shador was great. Travis Hunter was great. We got the win. What's next? Like, that's his mentality, and that's why I don't believe he's going to be around long term. And it's what's most frustrating about Deion, despite my personal opinions about him. He's great for the sport. And I think where I would get most frustrated, and I am most frustrated, is that he doesn't take it seriously. If Deion Sanders truly wanted to recruit his ass off, some of these crazy coaches do, he would bring in a top 10 recruiting class every year.
At minimum, a top 20, though.
He is an infectious person. That guy walking into your living room, you know how many kids he could get to commit? He is one of the greatest personalities in the history of sports. But because he doesn't put the time and effort in, and these are his alternate goals, you're just never going to see it come to fruition. And so I have a hard time seeing him there long term. That was Mark Jones was the other storyline of that game last night, calling it that. Just come on, man. If he's going to call Colorado games all year, I might have to watch them on mute. The Mark Jones love affair with Deion Sanders, and then in the fourth quarter when they're holding on to a slim lead over North Dakota State, we're showing a graphic on the screen of enrollment up and social media engagement, and
that's what this is.
Fine. All of that stuff is true, but this is we're watching a football game. They have been in a dogfight with an FCS team the entire night, and this is what we're highlighting with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
I know he's got some S talking on video against Oregon, and then he started pissing blood. But given the narrative and noise around him, did anybody else see that penalty and go, Shiloh, why do you do this to yourself?
He was begging for one of those the entire first quarter. He had like 4 late hits in the first 5 minutes of that game.
But he's the other Sanders brother, and he does that stuff. And you're like, well, that's
on a
why your
third down,
better.
Too, it was incredibly stupid. Like, that's where they just have so many of those dumb boneheaded, even the coaching calling that pass play on first down.
Yes.
Do you want to win this game?
Yep.
You could have ran that clock down to 5 seconds. It's just idiocy.
We'll pause college football. We'll get back into it. Thank God this story's over. Next on The Fan. This is a good tweet and a good point. Because I said in the last segment, the thing about Colorado is I kind of hate watch him, but I love watching Shador play. I think he's awesome. And Travis Hunter, to me, is the best player in college football. And I slipped a Heisman thing in there. And it's a good point by one of our listeners, Brad. Nobody from a 5-win team will win the Heisman. They beat a small school. Let them play a few games. So that led me to do a little research. We don't do a ton of research on this program.
No, we do not.
I don't do a ton of research.
But I did during the break because I saw this tweet. And I hadn't, I guess, considered that. Do you know which player in the last 45 years has the fewest wins, or the most losses, I should say, and won the Heisman?
Oh, buddy, I would dare to guess RG3, Johnny Manziel. I feel like those are ringing a bell. No,
Ron Dane.
You're in the ballpark.
In the ballpark.
Oh, okay, so it's quarterback.
It's a little Well, it's largely a quarterback.
Quarterback with the
Andre Ware.
No, a little more recent than that.
Lamar. Yeah. How many did he lose?
Three.
Yeah.
So I looked this up. Do you know Paul Hornung? You know, he's got the award named after him.
Yeah.
He was on
a losing Notre Dame team.
2-8.
Yeah.
And he won the Heisman Trophy.
That was in like
2-8.
46 or something.
That was
a long time ago.
Way before anybody knew or cared. No Heisman winner has played for a team with 4 or more losses since 1969. So, to Brad's point and to my previous comment, probably right. However, I do think he's slightly different if, to your other point, he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy all year and plays like close to 2,000 snaps, depending on how, you know, if they go to a bowl game or whatever. And nobody else in college football among the teams that end up in the college football playoff has some absurd year.
He's a minimum in New York, right?
We've never seen this before.
No, this is crazy.
We've seen guys at like linebacker, fullback, Owen Marie Sick back in the day.
Yes.
You've had your Charles Woodson, the Utah kid, did
last
it as well.
Sione Vaca, whatever his name was.
He did safety, a little running back, but it wasn't every snap, and he wasn't the best player on the field at both times on both sides of the ball. You've seen guys like Charles Woodson was this when he played in Michigan, the last defender to win the Heisman Trophy. It was because he returned punts and played a little wide receiver, but he wasn't an every down wide receiver. Like that's the whole point about Travis Hunter, is just you just have never seen it, and it's incredible to watch. There were stories coming out yesterday about what he does in practice and some of the catches he was making in warmups. Like, that dude is an absolute freak of an athlete.
Yeah,
and I don't want him to get hurt. I just, if I were that staff, I would look around and say, how do we find a way to not have this happen again? He's been in college for 2 years now, one at Jackson State, one at Colorado. In both years, he played, what, six games, seven games? Like, barely over half the season. I know he came back a little bit later at the end of last year. It just, you're just destined to have it happen when you play that many snaps. Yeah. And just to be smarter about it, especially in a game, I think that would be the scary note, is that you needed him that many snaps to beat North Dakota State. Yeah. But just pick your battles, man. Pick your times when you're going to play him to try and conserve him. This is a long season.
They try and run him on a slant route or something against one of those big, nasty linebackers on the black shirts who just catches him, blindsides him.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got that right, because I just, the stat I read you is from 2018 on the Heisman site.
Was there anybody in the last five, six years?
Jaden was the one. I'm like, wait, what was LSU last year?
They were 9-3.
Yeah, they finished 10-3 on the year. They were 9-3. So that stat still holds. Player since 1969 has been with four losses or more and won the Heisman.
Yeah, I think this is one of those both arguments are true. Like, I largely agree with Brad's point. They won't go to a losing team, but we've never seen this before.
6-6, 7-5, and he stays healthy. I think at minimum he gets an invite to New York, because that's amazing.
1,500 yards and 12 touchdown catches. I mean, he already had, what, three last night, I think?
Three. Yeah,
three. So he's already got three out of the gate. Six picks.
Yeah, like, six picks.
Dude, like,
you got him sent.
At some point, you got it. It's like, yeah, he's the best player in the sport. You got to have him there in New York.
Moving to the NFL, the Brandon Ayuk story is finally over.
Hallelujah.
The Niners and Brandon Ayuk came to an agreement, a 4-year, $120 million deal, $76 million guaranteed. So he basically gets the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal.
Yeah.
And many people pointing out, now it was being reported, this deal was on the table the whole time. Ayuk's agent refutes that report.
Of course he does.
And people in the Bay who I follow are all basically like, what a waste of our time, John Lynch.
Yeah. I don't refute. I mean, I understand why his agent needs to come out and do that. I don't think the Niners moved much at all here. I think they've had an offer for him to be.
You believe this report?
I do believe the report, that they've had an offer on the table for him to be a borderline top five paid wide receiver. He doesn't belong inside the top 10 or to Justin Jefferson level, which is what we've argued the entire time. Here's your offer. It gets you $30 million a year. That's right around where the top five wide receiver in the league makes, so you're in that ballpark and in that territory. I don't think the Niners budged much here. I think this came down to finally acknowledging, all right, let's just get this over with. He clearly didn't want to play for anybody else. Money clearly wasn't the only driving force for him. And I think that's what the 49ers have been trying to argue the last couple of days. Like, dude, if you're not going to take the trade to the Browns where they can pay you more, you're not going to take the trade to New England where they can pay you more, then what do you want to win? You clearly want to be here. Mm-hmm. We got a top five wide receiver contract on the table for you. Just sign it and get it over with. And if you're a Niner fan, the relief is that, not that they were distracted from dealing with Trent Williams, because they still have to figure that out and they've been working on that.
Got to get that done.
But at least this one domino is out of the way, and it's like, all right, we don't need to worry about that crap anymore. Kudos to Ayuk, though, because his holding out got him this deal. If he didn't do this offseason, they would have made him play on the final year of his rookie deal, and he would have been, you know, below league average and not making the money that he wanted. And so his holdout got him something. It just easily could have ended a month ago, I think, with this offer on the table.
I disagree with this text. Shador didn't do anything special. He heaved deep balls that were underthrown and hoping for DPIs.
Man, no, he was really good.
That one first pass, yeah. I texted to you guys, to Jimmy Horn.
Yeah, when he was getting hammered in the pocket, he lofted it up, and you're like, where's this going? And then Horn comes out of nowhere perfect. And catches it.
Just
yeah.
a dart right on the yeah. move for Horn, perfectly in place, took a massive hit. He took a couple hits in that game. I thought Shador was really
his
good.
His toughness is his most underrated aspect.
Yes.
What he went through last year and what he went through in game one, that's another one of those, like, just be smart, man. He takes a lot of those hits in game one.
Yeah.
It's like, go down. Get out of bounds. Throw the ball away. Just be smart from time to time. You don't have to take all these hits. He is also aided and benefited by, like, his first touchdown was a 10-yard curl to Travis Hunter,
yeah.
who broke three, you know, tackles and ran past everybody to the end zone.
Yep.
And the last one was an insane catch that was thrown behind the defensive back
sure.
that he was able to grab. So he's aided by that, but he's a very good quarterback.
We have a lot to get into. It's an interesting daily ticker today. It's a four-person, one-stop shop, all encompassing ticket.
Yes, all Northwest schools will be covered.
It's like a Bi-Mart.
You got your membership card?
They got for the daily ticker in my today? Pocket right now.
You can listen to that segment with a $5 membership card at 7:30.
Dan Lanning yesterday talking about a topic
yeah.
that may rear its head this weekend in college football. We'll get to that as well. So college football is back in our lives. We're here to disagree and debate and give takes. Oh, it feels just glorious. Brandon Ayuk's been signed, so that can go away. Just so happy. We're back with more Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Week one is here. College football is amongst us. Started last night, even though I know it started last week, but week zero can go to hell. Week one is here.
We get Michigan State tonight at 4 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
I'm going to miss that one.
Yeah, that's well, right. You're going up to the WNBA game, huh? Who's
4
driving?
4 o'clock, right?
4 o'clock, I believe, FAU, 13.5 point line.
I might take the fam to an early dinner
ooh.
Somewhere around Climate Pledge. I've never been to Climate Pledge since they revamped it.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
I've heard good things. I also had a listener reach out yesterday and DM me and say, hey, have your tickets ready on your old mobile, you know, yeah. Safari, because the service there sucks.
Ah, that's the issue. If you can't pull up the tickets there, that's a bit of a problem.
Still having a Apple Wallet issue today. Yeah.
Now, if you take a screen grab of somebody else's phone, will the tickets work?
Yeah, somebody said that yesterday, and I think I'm too nervous to try it.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm just going to make sure it's up and ready to open, and there it is. Boop, 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 boop.
The beauty of technology.
But I might have to take the fam somewhere around Climate Pledge. It's a delightful little area.
It is. Yeah, 4 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
Michigan State hosting Florida Atlantic.
And then, you know, go watch the start of that and then get to the arena hour early before the start of the Liberty Storm game.
We get our first ACC After Dark game tonight, too. Stanford hosting TCU at 7:30.
Yeah, feel them. Feel
ACC
the magic
Big 12 challenge. Big thing to kick off the year. Big thing.
Poor Stanford. Stanford and Cal, like, we don't want to do this.
This is so weird, man.
They should have just stayed in the pack. Why not?
I did have a weird feeling last night of watching, because one of the first games to kick off was Rutgers. They were playing Howard, I believe.
Yeah, did you see Edrin James's kid? Got
I
the
did.
Only teddy.
I did see that.
That's cool.
And so I was watching that game, and then obviously the Minnesota game a little bit later on. I know Illinois played. It's a weird balance of, like, I know that I should, like, I used to care about the other teams in the conference. Like, if Arizona State, Utah play a random opener, I would watch. It didn't quite click yet. I'm wondering how long that takes. I'm like, I'm supposed to care about these games now, but it doesn't feel normal.
Our buddy PJ Fleck tried to row the boat past Mac Brown yesterday, the kicker, as we talked about.
Forgot his oar.
He did.
He hit the field goal post earlier, and then he just had like a little slice-a-roni happen on the game yeah. winner. And so Mac Brown and NC are 1-0 in Minnesota, who, you know, look, I want to get to something about that game,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I've watched enough Minnesota football to comfortably say, that looks like every Minnesota game in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no
I agree with that.
Passing offense,
no.
A struggle bus, solid defense, comes down to the wire, and they lose in heartbreaking fashion. I did feel for PJ, though. Mac Brown has a lot of respect for PJ Fleck, and I like that. He, like, locked him into an almost headbutt situation so he could forcibly tell him, you did good, your team's good.
Both teams deserve to win.
PJ Fleck, I think, respects Mac Brown enough to let it happen, but was like, dude, it's a little too physically intense.
My kicker just hooked the hell out of a game-winning field goal, and you want me to sit here and hug you? I'm not happy right
now. Did you hear Mac Brown's postgame?
I did. I listened to the interview on the field. Yeah.
You know, I feel bad for that kid, but we won. Yeah. We're victorious.
I'll take it, but, you know, I feel horrible for him. We both deserve to win. That's not how this works, Mac.
Our kid made them all.
And there's a loser. That's how this game works. Yeah, the You're spot on that being Minnesota every game under PJ Fleck, and that led to a conversation because their transfer quarterback is a guy from New Hampshire who was like a really highly touted lower-level college quarterback. And when they brought him in, Brosmer, I think is his name, Max Brosmer, and everybody's been hyping this dude up of like, here we go, this is exciting, Minnesota's finally got a legit quarterback. And I think the takeaway was last night that some people wanted to blame him, but I think people are finally starting to blame the Minnesota system might just suck.
Dude, he had like 60 yards in the fourth quarter.
The coaches were raving about this
kid.
Their
passing offense sucks.
There can't be that many coaches wrong on a quarterback that are like, maybe you're just not putting him in a position to succeed. And this is on you and not on the player.
Feels like Flex boat's sinking. And I feel like if you were asking him honestly last night after his third scotch, yeah, the house can go up in about a week.
How long until I get fired?
Really, PJ? Tell me more.
What year is this for him in Minnesota?
I don't know. It's like year six, I think.
That sounds about right.
I don't know what Minnesota football expectations are, and they'll probably be...
Oh, boy. He's been there since 2017.
Yeah, so what is this, year seven?
This is year eight.
Year eight, yeah.
He's 50-35, 29-32 in the Big Ten. He has three 9-win seasons, 1-11. He had the 11-win year in 2019.
Should they expect more?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He's undefeated in bowl games. You know, he's getting you a bowl game more often than he's not getting you to a bowl game. He was down last year 6-7.
Are you going to get better than PJ Fleck at Minnesota?
I don't think so. I don't think that you will.
Because that coach probably doesn't stay if they have...
I think PJ Fleck's been actively trying to leave for like three straight off seasons.
Oh, yeah. There's a report he wanted UCLA and UCLA didn't want him.
Yeah, no, we're okay. You wear a tie. That's a little weird. Dude.
I told you guys, I went to Minneapolis a couple years ago. It's Arizona State. I'm like, why?
Sleeping Giant?
Why
going
are
sleeping
you
guys giant
not better? The stadium's near the city, it's a kick ass stadium. All the fraternity houses are right there. It's like a really cool little setup they've got. And I'm always like, I just drove around. I'm like, man, this is kind of a cool spot to go to school.
I don't know what their alumni base is like, but if they could find one or two, you know, big shooters.
Isn't Target there?
I mean, they got Target. I know they got Target. U.S. Bank, I believe, is there.
Yeah,
the U.S. Bank there?
It's the Midwest financial hub. Yeah. Like, most of the large banks have significant, regional, if not national headquarters there.
Come on, Gophers.
Insurance companies, everything.
That game, though, I just was sitting around yesterday thinking about how much I love this sport. It's so stupid. And there were so many plays in that game last night that just leave you laughing.
That was week one football.
Like the play where the Minnesota wide receiver fumbled and then the ball bounced perfectly into the hands of the other guy and he ran it for like another 20 yards. Fumbles all over the place. Crazy, chaotic turnover.
They had bad weather, too.
Bad weather was delayed by an hour.
Yeah.
They didn't do enough wet ball drills during the week.
It was perfect. That was perfect college football.
Swag panicked. He had to go into our system because it was on 9-10. So
we were airing
sure.
that game last night.
Yeah, so. I was just making sure, first game of the season, making sure all the behind-the-scenes stuff is all still connected. And so it came on, and then he said, yeah, we've got a lightning delayed, kickoff's delayed an hour.
There was going to be sketchy weather.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We'll have more college football talk, a four-stop ticker, hour number two. Dirt and Sprague, back with more on 1080 The Fan.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.